Welcome to the Devi Big Board, part of the Rookie Big Board Network. I'm your host, Skip Newton. Dwight Peebles is dealing with PTSD, post-draft stress disorder, but he'll be back hopefully in a few weeks, just taking some time to recover from a busy draft season. But thankfully for all of you, luckily for all of you, I am not flying Han Solo tonight. I've got my other co-host here, Matt Cooper. Matt, you were also busy during draft season. How are things going now that the chaos has finally ended?
Yeah, it was definitely a busy week, especially the week of the draft. So I've taken a little bit of a break from content, but hey, I've got 30 minutes to do a podcast with my boy Skip. So here we go.
Excellent. So you've had a few rookie drafts already. Are there any players that you seem to be getting more shares of, you know, especially in the later, you know, rounds 2, 3, 4, wherever, you know, those ones where I think it's a complete and total go get your guy type thing
after. Yeah, that's a good question. I have scooped up a couple of shares of Tank Bigsby in the third round.
Ooh,
I feel like nice. The value there with, I mean, to me, he's in the same tier with like A-Chain, Charbonnet, Kendre, who are going early second round. And I've seen Tank fall to the third a couple more times, which is interesting. So I've definitely been scooping those up. And Tank Dell. So I guess both the tanks, honestly, Tank Dell has been consistently available in round 4. And I'm like, you know, I know he's small. I know he's an outlier, but he is arguably the most talented wide receiver in Houston right now. And he's got third round draft capital, and supposedly Stroud asked for him personally, and he just gets open. So I'm like, you know what? In the fourth round, I think he's got a really good chance to be someone that you're wanting to put in your lineup this year. So
yeah. And if you can, you're going to get immediate return on that late pick, and you can probably flip them for a little bit of a profit. But if not, you've got a decent player. Yeah, I like that. Like I was telling you, most of my rookie drafts kicked off today, so haven't gotten into round 2 yet, but I find myself really liking Marvin Mims at the end of the first round. I seem to keep going that direction. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out. If I can get a Tank Bigsby at the beginning of the third, I'm going to be ecstatic, because this draft is going to test us on our ability to trust in the talent to win out, because of course there were some running back landing spots specifically that we did not care for, but I gotta believe if the teams, you know, are taking these guys on day 2, you know, Seattle taking Zach Charbonnet and you mentioned Tank Bigsby going to Jacksonville with ETN there, I'm going to believe that they want to get them involved and that the talent will win out. And I think that's kind of where I was going with Marvin Mims too. It's like, yeah, they got 2 good wide receivers, but the trade rumors have been rampant and they clearly like Mims. So I actually love that landing spot for him.
Yeah. I think like Tank and ETN actually complement each other well. You know, I think he's kind of the thunder to ETN's lightning. I don't think ETN was ever a bell cow type of a guy. He's a smaller guy. You want to get him out in the space and he can make people miss. He's electric after he gets the ball in space, and Tank's more of that between the tackles kind of guy. So I think it's a fit there. I think they're both going to be involved early. The Charbonnet one made no sense to me. We don't need to spend too much time on it, but I just don't. I mean, he and Walker are both early down grinders, volume dependent. Like neither of them is like a third down. I mean, Walker caught like 13 passes his entire college career, and Charbonnet did a lot better than that, but I wouldn't say it's like his most natural fit is to be a third down back. I mean, he's 220 pounds, so I don't know how those guys are going to fit and work together, but I do like the fit with Tank and ETN in Jacksonville. Doug Peterson's always loved a committee, so.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, you know, the Seattle situation, I don't get it either, especially when you hit on a rookie running back like they did with Walker. I was thinking, okay, yeah, you know, it's a talented deep class. Add another running back, you know, mid to late day 3 just for some depth. And that would make total sense to me, because a lot of these teams, they don't want just one guy. I mean, it's a risk. They get hurt a lot. Just, you know, they're getting pounded all game long. And so that makes sense to get multiple guys, but I just, man, yeah, spending back-to-back high capital is
weird. They got Kenny McIntosh on day 3. So if you're looking for like a third down change of pace for Kenneth Walker, you got Kenny McIntosh day three, but like why? I don't understand.
Yeah, it's a bizarre thing. We are not going to talk about the rookie class, just the rookie class today. We are going to do a little bit of a comparison to this class that was just drafted and to the top Devy prospects. So one of the challenges that we feel that Devy managers have is they're really got to struggle with, you know, who do I value more, the Devy prospect or the current veteran, or in this case, the rookie class. We thought we'd start with quarterbacks today and just go through and where would we rank the Devy guys in comparison to the top guys drafted at each position. And we'll just talk it out and we'll see how long it takes. We'll limit it to just quarterbacks and maybe running backs if we get through them. But if not, we'll save those for a future podcast. But first, I want to talk about the ridiculous value of being a rookie big board patron. In March, you all received volume one, if you were a patron, of the 2023 rookie guide. The 2023 seasonal projections are also out. And we have released a brand new biggest board, which allows you to compare the value of 2023 rookies directly with Devy and Dynasty players. So just what we're talking about today. There you go. It's out there for patrons already. And of course, we're always updating the rookie big board pretty much on a daily basis. You can become a yearly patron for 15% off now. That is just $30 a year. That is cheaper than what you would pay for an entry into the Murph fundraiser that's on Memorial Day weekend that I signed up for last weekend. For those of you not aware, the Murph is a Memorial Day weekend to raise money, annual fundraiser for the Lieutenant Michael P. Murphy Memorial Scholarship. The catch here is I'm running a mile, then I'm doing 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, 300 squats, and then running another mile. So this is my second year doing this. It's a hard workout, but it's all for a good cause. So thought I'd bring that up. If you want to win a fantasy football championship this year and next year, you need the ridiculously valuable resources offered by the Rookie Big Board team at patreon.com/rookiebigboard. And we should also mention the Discord is absolutely hopping. Devy content, of course, rookie content with the people, you know, in their drafts. We've got an on the clock channel to help people, you know, make those decisions on the, you know, as it's happening. So it's a lot of fun. It's really active. So people chiming in and sharing their opinions. Really good time there. All right. Let's get into it. Rookie quarterbacks, you know, the top three going in the top four picks there, Bryce Young to Carolina, CJ Stroud to Houston, and Anthony Richardson to the Colts. Do you have any Devy prospects that you would place ahead of any of these top three rookies that were taken?
Great question. I think it's important off rip to say that when you're playing Devy, it's really, really easy to fall in love with the Devy names. And the reality is you're taking on a lot of risk with Devy players because, you know, a year from now, they might not get the draft capital that you think that they're going to get. There might be some major injury. You know, any number of things could happen to totally tank their draft stock, and there's no insulated value. It's like if you have a 2024 first in a regular dynasty league, you know you're getting a first-round talent no matter what because it's a first-round pick. But if you have Drake May, and let's just say that he goes the route of Sam Howell and he falls to the fifth round inexplicably, you don't have a 24 first. You have a fifth-round quarterback. And so there's a lot of risk in Devy players that the value is not insulated like it would be with a draft pick. And so we need to be aware of that. We can love these guys. We can hold these guys. That's fine. But to me, I'm going to have to really, really love a prospect to have him above a guy who just secured top five draft capital. So long answer to your question. I love Caleb Williams enough to say that. I think I would take Caleb Williams above these guys. I really buy the hype that he's kind of the best prospect in years and that he's got the potential to be a really, really high upside fantasy player. He's got the legs. He's got the fantastic arm. He's got everything that you're looking for. So I do think I feel comfortable saying that I would still take Caleb Williams ahead of these guys, but no other quarterbacks because, All right. I, you know, I just don't think anybody else has proven it enough. I think all of them, you know, a year from now, we could be looking at them very, very differently. And these three guys that went in the top five, their value is insulated in a way that no other Devy quarterback can say.
Yeah, I'm glad you gave the long answer to that, because you hit on some great points. And, you know, Dwight and I have talked about, you know, comparing value in the past, not necessarily like we're doing today, a little bit differently, but Dwight has really tried to convince the listeners and myself that you can't be afraid to trade your Devy assets. Mm-hmm. And if you can get good value for them, like you're indicating, there's a decent chance that you're trading them at their peak value. Mm-hmm. Because like you said, once their career ends in college and all of a sudden the draft starts, value changes. And it's always amazing to me how much value changes after they're done playing, but we've seen it happen. And I'm going to give a little bit of a short anecdote here. I was in a Devy / rookie draft that started right after, you know, the Sunday after the NFL draft. And I'm sitting with the 102 that I earned. So that kind of gives you an idea of where my team was at. And, you know, I'm focusing, okay, who are the best players available? And it's a two tight end premium league. So it's very important to this conversation. First guy takes Drake May, and I'm sitting there, and in my opinion, and they limit it to 36 Devy picks a draft. So it's a deeper Devy pool. Well, Quinshon Judkins is just easily the best player available from a Devy perspective. And I got so focused on, well, I got to slam Quinshon Judkins here. I mean, he's in everybody's, you know, at least top 6-7 Devy players, if not higher. He could be the number one guy in his class. I took him, and I should have stepped back and said, wait a minute, look at the league. Look at what just happened. Dalton Kincaid is sitting there, just got drafted by Buffalo. There's a decent chance that he's their number two target guy. Maybe not year one, of course, but mm-hmm. that he becomes that great tight end. And again, in a two tight end premium league, I should have just paused. And it was one of those deals where, like, the more I thought about it afterwards, the more I just kept feeling, you know, buyer's remorse. It's like, man, I blew that. I should have taken the player. But to get back to the topic, you know, it's really hard for me to ignore the draft capital. Like you said, the insulated mm-hmm. value. And I love Caleb Williams too. I really do. But boy, I think I would stick with the top three this year, because they're locked in, and just anything can happen between now and next year.
Sure. Good.
But I think your argument, I mean, I don't feel real strong about it. Like if someone really starts arguing more and more that Caleb Williams is the number one player, you know, if he were available this year, I could get talked into it, because mm-hmm. I love him that much. So I agree. He's, you know, right up with those three guys. But after that, what about, I mean, is Drake May your number two Devy?
Yeah, he is. And I will say this about Drake May. I'm lower on him than most. I'm one that I do not want to invest high Devy capital in a quarterback until he's like the sure thing, like Caleb Williams. Like, I feel very, very confident. Like, for multiple years in a row, he's proved it. I think, you know, if he had been in this draft class, he would have been the number one pick. But Drake May has 1 year as a starter. He played, his strength of schedule was awful. I mean, he basically played G5 competition for most of the year. And then if you look at his last four games, he played some of the best defenses that he played all year, and his numbers plummeted in those four games. He played against NC State. He played against Clemson. He played in a bowl game. I forget off the top of my head who they played against. I think Oregon maybe. But, you know, three of the four toughest defenses he played all year in the last four games, and his numbers were very pedestrian, honestly. And so he's not super proven. You see the traits. I mean, it's obvious, like, why everybody's as excited as they are. The numbers were like video game numbers that he put up this year. He's got the arm. He's got the leg. Like, I'm not trying to hate on Drake May, but I think there's a lot more risk there than most people want to admit that there is. And so for me, I saw a bunch of people, you know, the week of the draft tweeting out that, like, if Caleb Williams and Drake May were in this class, they'd be the number one and number two picks. And to me, I was like, are you kidding me? compared to CJ Stroud and Bryce Young, who have put up like Heisman caliber seasons and competed for national championships and done like everything that you want a quarterback prospect to do over the course of multiple years starting. There's no way I would take Drake May above those guys. So, yeah, he's my number two Devy, but I'm not drafting him at 102 in a Devy draft like a lot of people are. I would easily take Marvin Harrison Jr. over him, and then we can start talking about maybe Drake May between him and Bowers and the running backs. So, anyway, I'm not trying to hate on the guy. I just think there's a lot more risk there than most people want to admit with him. And I think Stroud and Bryce Young were much better prospects.
Yes, I think that's fair. I think it speaks to the overall quarterback prospect landscape right now. It's a lot of question marks after Caleb Williams. I mean, yeah, everyone's high on Drake May. They're excited about the stats he put up, and he started off hot. But, you know, like you mentioned the reasons for some pause there, for some concern. A couple other guys we're going to talk about, there's downside, or they haven't proven anything there either. So it gets really dicey after Caleb Williams. And so that brings up the next question. You know, Will Levis falls early in the second round, but he still gets pretty decent draft capital, obviously not first round, which you're more excited about, but man, it feels to me like he's got a almost guaranteed, shot to start at some point, if not this year, next year. Like they're gonna give him his shot in Tennessee. So where do you have Levis as far as we've named our top four? Now you're getting into that Levis, Drake May, maybe Drew Aller, Quinn Ewers. Where do you have those guys in that next tier?
Yeah, for me, Levis is an interesting one because I've never liked Will Levis as a prospect, and I don't want to come across like I'm like victory lapping on a guy's failure, because that's just not cool. And honestly, like, I feel for the guy because he lost out on millions of dollars by falling from this projected top 10 pick to the second round. But I've said for months, as he's been in the top 10 of every mock draft that anybody has done for months, and Dynasty rookie mock drafts, he's been going top five because he's been presumed to be a top 10 draft pick. And then the logic is, well, if he's a top 10 draft pick, then you have to take him top five in a super flex draft. And I've pushed back on that, saying, for one, I will believe he's a first round talent when I actually see him taken in the first round. So that didn't happen. And for two, I've pushed back on the notion that you have to take him top five, because I'm like, I don't have to take somebody that I don't believe in just because it's super flex and quarterback is so scarce or whatever. And so, anyway, Will Levis is a guy that I've been down on, but I like the situation that he fell into. Like you mentioned, early second round draft capital is a high enough investment from the team that they are going to want to give him a shot. But at the same time, he doesn't have that immediate pressure of being a top 10 pick where the team's expecting him to come in day one and be their franchise quarterback. Because I think that he's not ready for that. So he gets a much needed year to develop behind Tannehill, and he gets a chance at some point to start. And I think there's a lot of value in that, but I think he has a lot to work on, from footwork, mechanics, decision-making, the mental aspect of quarterback play. He's got a long road ahead of him, I think, to become an NFL caliber starting quarterback. So I would take May ahead of him because, yeah, is there risk that May could end up being drafted even lower than Will Levis just was? There is. But at the same time, is there a very, very real possibility that at this time next year, Drake May is a top five pick in the draft? Yeah, absolutely. That's a real possibility too. And I think he's a better player than Will Levis is. So I would take Drake May ahead of Will Levis. And beyond that, it gets dicey because you got a guy in Drew Aller who hasn't started a game yet in college, total unknown. You got a guy in Quinn Ewers who looked pretty bad last year, and you're hoping for improvement. So I think I would take the the insulated. He's already been a high second round pick. You don't have to wonder, is this guy even going to get drafted? I think I would take Levis ahead of these other guys. So I would have it Drake May and then Will Levis and then probably Aller and then Ewers. So.
All right. I actually went farther with it. I'm pushing Levis all the way down past what I feel are the guys who have round one upside. Even if I have to wait longer, I'm gonna take that shot. And it's really trusting that what I saw, I wasn't particularly, pleased with either. There's too many things I don't like about them, and I never really have. And so I'm willing to gamble, and if he ends up hitting with Tennessee, then it'll just be a guy that I miss on. But
yeah,
I feel like every year there's one quarterback that sometimes they get the capital, sometimes they don't, but one guy that everyone else gets excited about and I just don't like him. And so I end up with zero shares, and sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. More often than not, it actually has worked out. I feel like I'm better at picking the guys that aren't going to be good than I am at picking the guys that are going to be great. I traded Hurts way too early, and that obviously blew up in my face, and it haunts me to this day. But yeah, so I've got him, way down, beyond, Aller and Ewers and the top freshman coming in. I'm really high on Dante Moore.
I love Dante Moore too. That's still, for me.
Still love Ty Simpson in Alabama. I'm hoping he gets a shot.
So you pick Ty Simpson over Will Levis.
Is that stupid? Maybe I'm being
obviously Ty Simpson might not even win the job over Jalen Milroe this year. So maybe it is. I don't know. I mean, I totally get where you're coming from though, because I don't like Levis very much either. It's so tough with these Devy quarterbacks. I don't like investing very much at Devy quarterback, to be honest with you, because we've seen so many horror stories, whether it be Spencer Rattler or Sam Howell or DJ Uiagalelei, or, the list could go on and on and on of these Devy quarterbacks that we got excited about and they turned into nothing burgers. So there's that security that at least Will Levis got that high second round capital. And he, like you said, he's going to get a chance to start. And I think you could probably flip him for a profit. I think you could get him, depending on your league. I've seen him go in the third round of some rookie drafts this year. I've seen him go as early as early second round. So it just depends if there's somebody in your league that really believes in him or not. But I think that there's a good chance you could buy him for a second round pick now and sell him for a first plus once he gets the starting job in Superflex leagues, just off of hype. So from that standpoint, I just think his value is a little more insulated than some of these unknown Devy guys, but I totally get where you're coming from. Like, it doesn't feel fun drafting Will Levis.
Right. And I love your point about the, he's going to have value when he starts, because that's a great counterpoint to what I'm saying. We've seen that in super flex leagues. Basically any quarterback that starts immediately has value, and people that are desperate for quarterbacks, they will make offers and try to get them. I can't tell you how many people in one league I'm in. I mean, the number of offers for Daniel Jones has been ridiculous this entire offseason. I'm like, wow, this guy is like a hot commodity, and he still hasn't had a 20 touchdown season as far as memory serves. But yeah, so I could definitely be taking the wrong strategy there with Levis. I think if I'm choosing between him and these other guys that are still in college, I'm going to go with the guys that I think have round one upside. But my strategy overall in Devy is much like what you just said. I don't risk a whole lot on quarterbacks. I try to get my quarterbacks in the NFL. Same with tight ends if I can, which obviously I didn't just do with Dalton Kincaid in that league, but that way I can focus on running backs and wide receivers. I feel like if I can throw my volume of Devy at those positions, I'm going to see more success in the long run.
Yeah. If I was in a Devy startup at 102, I would take Marvin Harrison Jr. If I was in a Devy startup and I had 103, I would be looking to do everything I could to trade back and pick up extra value to avoid taking Drake May and let somebody else take that risk. And I'm going to get, one of these first round Devy running backs, you know, maybe one of the guys we're about to talk about in a second. And then I'm going to get, you know, can I get a first and an early second in that same startup and stack, you know, can I get like a Travion Henderson plus Evan Stewart instead of having to take the risk on Drake May? I would rather do that, I think. So,
yeah, that tier, once you get past, in my opinion, like you, the top two, right? Harrison and Williams, mm-hmm. it's a solid tier. I mean, it really depends on which guy you like best, but you know, some people like Emeka Egbuka, Drake May, Braylon Allen, mm-hmm. Travion Henderson, Nick Singleton, Quinshon Judkins, Raheem Sanders. I mean, it's a nice group. So yeah, if you can slide back from 103 to 106, 107, you're still going to get a guy in the same tier. But mm-hmm. now you're picking up.
I think there's a lot of people that have May in the Harrison Jr. and Caleb Williams tier.
There are.
I don't see it that way, but I think there's a lot of people that do. So.
Yep. What about, you know, and I'm not sure we're going to get to running backs, but I like the quarterback mm-hmm. discussion. You know, what about Hendon Hooker? You know, kind of the last rookie. I know it's early third. He's sitting behind Goff. He does go to an offense that is starting to acquire some nice pieces. Do you want any shares of Hooker with his situation there, or is he kind of a out of sight, out of mind type guy? One.
Because as a prospect, I had Hooker above Levis, but obviously, like, third round draft capital is not anywhere near as good as early second round draft capital. You know, like, if he plays really well and he shows out and he impresses the coaching staff, he absolutely could get a shot at being the starter there, kind of transition from Goff to him. But at the same time, with a third round investment, if he's not looking amazing, I mean, the team could just view him as just a solid backup. You know, it's not like with Levis, you feel pretty good that at some point they want him to start. I don't know that that's the case with Hooker. So, but I like him. I mean, I like his arm. I like his legs. I like his decision-making. He's very calm in the pocket. He has good footwork. So, you know, when I watched him, I was just very impressed because he'd drop back and it'd be one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi, and boom, either the ball's out on time and on target or he's looking for a running lane. And so there was a lot that I liked about Hendon Hooker. But third round is tough. Plus, you're talking about he's 25 years old and he's coming off a torn ACL and he might not get a chance to start until he's 27 if he has to wait 2 years behind Goff. So I think I'd probably take a lot of these Debbie guys ahead of Hooker.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I hate to say that because I really like Hendon Hooker and there is some upside there, but it has a lot of risk. And some of these other guys have more upside, arguably, you know, because like you said, they could end up being first round picks. So
yeah, and Hooker's a likable dude too. So you mm-hmm. want him to succeed, like, you know, kind of like Deuce Vaughn in Dallas. And I'm not a Cowboys fan by any stretch, but man, the Deuce Vaughn thing, it's like, come on, please be good. It's such a fun thing. Yeah. But one more, like, I think we're just gonna cover quarterbacks today because we're already getting close to half an hour, but you know, let's go easily to the previous draft class because we only had one first round pick, Kenny Pickett, starting quarterback, Pittsburgh. Hmm. Where do you put Pickett on this list? He's, you know, he's the starter. They're trying to put talent around him. Where do you have, we have Pickett in relation to the rookies, you know, the top three. And then of course the top Debbie.
He's definitely below the top three rookies. He is above Will Levis for me. I think I liked him better as a prospect. Maybe he doesn't have like the cannon arm and, you know, what's perceived as like upside with Levis because he's big and he's got a big arm and whatever. Like, but I think Pickett, just in the accuracy and the mental part of the game, I think he's just a better quarterback than Will Levis is. He obviously got the first round draft capital, and so Pittsburgh is pretty invested in giving him a leash to try to make him the franchise quarterback for probably at least the next three or so years, which gives some insulated value. They are putting talent around him. I think a lot of people have written Pickett off after last year because, you know, I mean, he came in halfway through the season, took over from Mitch Trubisky, and he just looked all right. and he looked like a solid QB3 in your Superflex league. Like, not somebody that you want to have to start every week, but somebody that you feel good about starting if your top two get hurt. And which is fine. I mean, there's a role for that on your dynasty team. But he was a rookie. I think he can improve. I don't think that who he was the second half of last year is who he'll always be. I think, you know, they improved that offensive line because it was one of the worst in the league. I think, you know, just with a couple of years of development, he could easily turn into like a Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr type of quarterback who you feel good about having in your QB2 spot. So all that to say, I would have him above Levis and definitely below Caleb Williams.
Drake May.
Oh, that's really tough. Because May has so much more upside than Pickett does.
Yeah, I think on value alone, because of, you know, you said everyone's down on Pickett,
yeah,
even though he's the starter there. I think on value alone, mm-hmm, I'm taking Drake May because
right now
his value's higher, so I can trade him for Pickett plus, mm-hmm, is what I'm guessing.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. So yeah, I think that's a good call. I think you could get Pickett plus for Drake May in a trade, so you probably got to lean that way. But I love that Pickett probably has 3 more years of job security, and I do think he's underrated right now. So I want to say that's tough for me, but for most people, it's probably pretty easily Drake May. So you're right from a value perspective. I mean, you could definitely get more for May in a trade, I think. So especially if he does ball out this year, if he's repeating last year's performance, then he's like, there are concerns, right? Because he's got a new offensive coordinator, I believe, at UNC. He's lost Josh Downs. So really, really curious to see what Drake May does this year. I think at the end of the year, we could be looking at him as a top 5 lock, or we could be looking at him as, man, what happened to Drake May?
Right.
So really, yeah, really curious to see how that all
revisit
plays out
this. Yeah. Dwight and I did this last fall. We'll do it again. Once the games start getting played, we'll do a full, you know, positional analysis on, all right, where do we put our Devy quarterbacks just in the overall rankings of quarterbacks, you know, not just the rookie class. So that'll provide some value during the season. And then we can, you know, we can see, okay, where has Pickett developed, you know, where are these rookies at, but then also, you know, what other college quarterbacks have stepped up? Because like you said, there's a lot of question marks at Devy that we need to get a better handle on. You know, is Ewers going to improve? Is Drew Aller going to look good? You know, are any of these, you know, super freshmen that we, you know, it's a good quarterback class, are any of them going to even see the field? Who's going to win the starting job in Alabama? Who's going to win the starting job in Ohio State? So yep, questions like that, we will provide the answers on as it gets going. Any final thoughts, Matt, before we wrap things up?
No, I'm going to say, though, I agree with you and your Dante Moore love. Like, it's kind of irrational. He hasn't played a snap yet. Who knows? There's so much risk. But, like, if you were to offer me Dante Moore for Kenny Pickett straight up, like, my brain would say it's easily Pickett, and my heart would be like, I kind of want to take Dante Moore. So I just wanted to say I agreed with the shout out there. And I feel like you would have to get a plus, though, from a guy who's already been a first round quarterback to a guy who's an unproven freshman. But
right. Yeah. Especially since he hasn't played a snap. So
yeah, but I would be tempted. Right. It's maybe silly, but I would.
Yeah. It'll be fun to see if he actually hits. Cause that, you know, this is so really quickly, this is the first class of rookies that I started watching film on as high school players getting ready. So that's when I got into, you know, really getting into Devy and analyzing it for, you know, the podcast. And so it's so fun to kind of think back and look back on, you know, okay, I remember falling in love with Jahmyr Gibbs. I remember falling in love with Jackson Smith and Jigba. But then there were other guys that, you know, we really liked. It's like, God, what happened to those guys? I mean, there were other running backs from this class that they're still in college because they haven't figured it out yet, or, you know, situations, injury, you know, for sure on some of these guys, but it is fun to, you know, talk to people like, oh God, I remember watching him in high school or the high school film and just got super jacked up about the way Jahmyr Gibbs ran the football. So I was pretty stoked to see him go in the first round. I was like, hey, got one right.
Yeah, for sure. That was cool to see.
All right. Hey, everyone, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Devy Big Board, part of the Rookie Big Board Network. We'll be back next week with more Devy Big Board, but be sure to tune in to hear from our friends on the Dynasty Big Board. They will be here as always. Everyone, enjoy your rookie drafts. Have an awesome time. We will talk to you later. Take care, everyone.